Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of making a prompt start and therefore enabling you to get away on time, many of you I know, it is an occasion where I must sincerely thank you in what's going to be a very busy but quick year for attending this Year 12 session. If I can just set the scene, obviously as a school we're trying to ensure that your boys get the best possible start they can, and one would hope that you've had a chance to look back at the results your sons received in Year 11. You may have had a chat and look at the goal setting for this year, and I still believe that's a worthwhile exercise, otherwise we wouldn't do it. So you may have had the opportunity to speak to his tutor about that, and then hopefully in the weeks that have now passed he's also had a chance to look at his courses fairly honestly and again set himself some targets for achievement at the end of the year. You may or may not know that on Friday we hosted a Year 12 luncheon, which we believe is pretty important for the boys, not only to get them together as a group but also to be able to give them information which is very particular to their academic progress and also to opportunities that would come to them in way of careers, university entrance, gap years, and all that associated information that may assist in him transitioning from the school. We're certainly not at that point yet, but the information that I hope you will receive and understand tonight is certainly invaluable, so thank you very much for attending. My purpose of standing up here is to introduce you to our new Director of Studies, Mr. Mahendra Vaswani, who we've been very fortunate to have come and replace Margaret Brophy as our Director of Studies, and that Mahendra has been at Hale School for many years, perhaps sitting in a 2IC role, dare I say that, where he's had to be an understudy to their current Vice Principal, Mr. David Bean, who has, again, I think we've been wrestling with Hale with academic results for quite some time now. Not that that's the be-all and end-all, but it's certainly great to beat your closest rivals. So hopefully you'll have a chance to ask questions this evening, and again, there will be more information that will come out and you'll be able to access certainly particular information that impacts on your son specifically, either with teachers throughout the year or of course his tutor. So could you put your hands together and welcome Mahendra to the stage.
Thank you very much, Roger, for that rousing welcome. Can I say welcome to all of you tonight, and thank you for being here. This is important that you're here, important that you get to hear this message and share some of this message when you do go home with your sons. I'm just going to start by telling you a little bit of a story. On the 19th of December 2017, I went into my office at Hale School as Director of Teaching and Learning, and I got access to the results, the Year 12 results from last year, from the Hale boys, and I looked at it and I thought, well, this is looking really good. And we did some analysis and we put some stats together pretty quickly, and about 2 hours later I was driving over here to meet with Margaret Brophy, and she had the results from the Christchurch boys from last year in front of her, and we sat down and she looked at me and she said, so how did Hale do? And little did I know that behind me was Roger Bailey waiting for the answer. And so we looked at the results for Christchurch, and about an hour later I was driving, got back in my car and I had to drive back to Hale to finish up my duties over there. And I couldn't help but have just a little bit of a smile, knowing that I've probably made the right decision. This is gonna get back to my colleagues, I'm sure. Like I said, thank you. Good evening, everyone. My name is Mahendra Vaswani. I'm Director of Studies and very happy to be here in front of you. Tonight with me, we have Dr. Holly Rose, Assistant Director of Studies. We will both... Well done. We will both be available at the end of the presentation for those of you who want to remain behind and ask some questions. I also note that some of you in the audience have got your trusty pen and paper out, and you're going to be taking some copious notes tonight. And I'd like to say that all my students in my class, all 20 of them, do exactly the same, every lesson. but they don't. Just letting you know that these slides will be available on the CCGS World website later on this week. So sit back and relax, enjoy the show, take in what you can take in, and know that you have access to this later on. Before we continue though, the safety talk. So if we do have an emergency in here, the first thing I'm going to ask you to do is remain calm. And the second is to find an exit. So the exits are at the back where you came from, and there's a couple of exits on the sides as well. If you make your way out to the lawn at the front, we'll direct you from there to the muster point if needed. All right, let's get on with the purpose. So there's no doubt that this is either already or will be a year of ups and downs for the boys, for you, for us, for me. There will be lots of learning opportunities in triumphs and defeats, but we will all emerge, and I say all, the boys, you, me, we will all emerge from this journey with resilience, grit, and personal bests. And for this to happen, your support will be vital. So once again, thank you for being here tonight. Communication will be through the CCGS World website. There is a document which has been made available through that website called the Important Academic Dates for Year 12, Students 2018. I would ask that you please make yourself and your sons familiar with this document. I would even dare say, print it up and put it on your fridge at home so you have access to it. It's a 2-page document with all the important dates for year 12. The opening section of the document looks like this, just so you, if you are looking for it tonight, and it can be very useful to have as a handy reference. So in this section, I wish to walk you through some key dates between now and December. Let's start with term one. So term one, we need to finalize all our subjects. And if your sons are thinking of changing a subject, then there is a deadline on that, as well as dropping a subject. It is quite common for students to drop a subject from 6 to 5 in year 12 and go into a private study. And the benefits of those of doing such thing are varied, apart from more time to study, more time to catch up on homework, and an increased effort in the remaining subjects. Just note the dropping subject deadlines as well in July and August, depending on the subject and whether it has a practical component or not. Continuing and staying with term one, in early March, the SCASA Year 12 Handbook, now SCASA is the School's Curriculum and Standards Authority, I just had to remember that one. So I'm going to be referring to SCASA over a few slides tonight. And they produce a Year 12 Handbook every year in March, and that's a really handy resource. It's a great resource to download and just have on your computer or your iPad, because it can be a nice venue as an FAQ just to answer your questions as you go through the year. An important date this term is the parent-teacher-student interviews on Monday, 20th of March. And if you haven't already had a look at your son's Nexus pages, on there are a variety of documents, including course outlines, assessment outlines, but also past exams, markers, reports. So please do have a look at that with your sons. The big one for term two are the semester one exams. I'd like to highlight the dates, Monday 28th May, right through to Friday 8th of June. So that includes the long weekend, the Friday long weekend on the 1st of June. So if you are making plans for holidays during that weekend, I would recommend that you stay away from that date. Once the boys finish up with those exams and get the results, we then go through the first round of producing and generating predicted ATARs. This is to give the boys a somewhat realistic perception, idea about how they're going in preparation for the second half of the year. And it is a good juxtaposition for the boys to stop and reflect on how they're going and how much effort they need to put in the second half of the year. Also in term two, students will be filling in the permissions online. This is again a SCASA requirement. And this year, the exam timetable for the ATAR exams will be available in term two on the 28th of May. These have typically been available first week back in term three. They've brought it forward this year. Another key date is in term three, the 31st of July, and that's where we have a conversation around ATAR, TISC, and the TAFE process. And it won't be just me speaking, there'll be other people speaking. We're bringing in the experts to give you more information on that process as the boys are about to embark on that. The semester two exams, or the trial exams, Saturday 15th of September to Saturday 21st of September. Please note the Saturdays in that timescale. And that's the last week of the term. Also due in term three are applications for uni or TAFE. They're usually due by the end of September, and closer to those dates you'll receive more information and more details. Scholarship applications also occur during term three, and these are really, really easy to research online. And any students completing a certificate course must complete all their requirements by the end of term three. And that's a requirement mandated as well externally. Can I ask that you not make any plans for the term three holidays with your boys? Apart from showing them love, giving them lots of food, looking after their every need, making sure they rest, and making sure they study. The reason I say don't make any plans for term three holidays is because if your sons are involved in any ATAR practical examinations for drama, music, or phys ed studies, these occur during those holidays. And they go through Saturdays, Sundays, public holidays, during those holidays. So just keep that one in mind as well, please. In term four, we have the practical examinations for Chinese and Japanese on those dates. And from the 13th to the 28th, again, including Saturdays, Sundays, and public holidays, you get the ATAR practical examinations for the English as an additional language and French. Let's go to term four. We're almost there. So what happens in this first 2 weeks when the boys come back from the holidays? In the first 2 weeks, it's return of the exams, the trial exams. They go through it, they get feedback, clear, precise feedback from their teachers. Following on from that is final important revision classes. The teachers and the heads of departments would have learnt where the areas of gaps are in the learning from the exams and the exams results. And they would then be agile enough at that point in time to produce revision classes and revision worksheets and the like to enable the boys to pick up on those gaps. In and around week three, the final year 12 transcripts and another round of predicted ATARs will be issued. The ATAR exams start on Monday 29th of November, and they go right through to the 16th of, that's not correct, 29th October and 16th of November. Thank you. Thanks for paying attention. Just a reminder, in order to achieve the WAIS, which is graduation really, boys need to attain 7 C grades, at least 7 C grades or better, across year 11 and 12. And of those 7, at least 3 of them have to be in year 12. And of course, the ulner, if they haven't already satisfied that requirement through NAPLAN in year 9, plus an ATAR or a certificate 2. Just a section on the prizes, so you know what to look for. First of all students will get the WACE award score, and that's based on the average of 5 scaled examination scores in the 8-hour courses, calculated to 2 decimal places, and at least 2 of them have to be in List A and List B subjects. Rare and examination includes both written and practical components. An appropriate statistical process will be used to combine the examination marks. Then you've got the general exhibitions, which are 50 awards, awarded to eligible students who obtain the highest WACE award scores. And the top prize gets the Beazley Medal. Subject exhibition is awarded to students obtaining the highest examination mark in the ATAR course, provided at least 100 candidates sat the examination. The next layer of awards, certificates of excellence, are awarded to the top 0.5% of candidates in each 8-hour course examination based on the examination mark, or the top 2 candidates, whichever is greater, in a course where at least 100 candidates sit the 8-hour course examination. Moving along with the SCASA prizes, certificates of merit and certificates of distinction recognize student achievement in WACE and are dependent on the degree of difficulty of the courses and programs undertaken, together with the student's level of achievement. These awards will be based on the grades awarded to the students by the school. A certificate of merit or a certificate of distinction is awarded to each student who, in their last 3 consecutive years of senior secondary WACE enrollment, accumulate a number of points. So 150 to 189 points gets you a certificate of merit, and 190 to 200 points gets you a certificate of distinction. All right, that's the prizes. Just to break things up, this photo is of 13 of the 17 students in the 99 Club from last year. So they were invited back to an assembly at the start of this year, and it was the academic assembly to kick off the school year. So how did we go last year? Well, a quick synopsis. We had 187 in the cohort, 165 of them achieved an ATAR, and 22 of them followed a general pathway. It was very, very pleasing to see 4 students successfully completing their education, the year 12 education in the PMC, the Peter Moy Center. And all 4 of them are continuing with studies at the moment. Our median ATAR of 92.4 placed Christchurch 3rd in the league tables. We had 98.4% WACE attainment rate. Just on that note, 7 boys in the group achieved an ATAR below 70. Another pleasing statistic was 38 students completed a certificate course. Most of these were in the fitness, either Cert 3 or Cert 4. So that continues to be a popular choice amongst Christchurch boys. We had the 6 general exhibitions. So these are the all-rounders, top 50. 1 subject exhibition in maths applications. 21 certificates of excellence. We also had 42 certificates of distinction and 38 certificates of merit. Our 99 club, as I stated before, had 17 boys. And 97 boys in the cohort scored an ATAR of 90 and above. Now that's against a state median of 88.4. 150 of the 157 boys who applied for university received a first round offer. That's 96%. So that is an astonishing statistic. So if you do the math and you count all the awards, 54% of the candidature in this school, year 12 last year, received an award. So that is quite an amazing achievement in itself. And 79% of the cohort achieved an ATAR that would give them entry into UWA. That's 80 and above. We were also featured amongst the top schools for 18 different courses. And if you look through those 18 courses, you will find that there's a nice, wonderful breadth of course coverage there. again reflecting on the strengths of the students and also the strengths of the student of the teacher advice given during the year 12 year. So what are we looking at this year? What's our cohort looking like this year? You might be able to give me some insights into this, but from my perspective, and it's early days, they look like a capable cohort. I'm hearing some good things from some of the teachers and tutors, but how well they do and how much they can achieve their personal bests will depend on how cohesive they are as a group. Last year's group was very cohesive. They worked together to achieve success together. Their work ethic and initiative, and of course, how much they're willing to cooperate. And cooperate, I say that, not just with each other, but also with us, the teachers, and trust our guidance and our advice. I thought you might be interested in knowing how the ATAR actually is generated, but without going through the full machinations, just to give you an idea of these averages can vary from year to year. So this is just to give you a slight indication of where you might be looking at. So for example, if you scroll down the right-hand column and you look at the second from the bottom, 85.2, so you have an average scale of 85%. That equates to an ATAR of 99. So that's how you read that table. So if you're sitting on about 75%, then that's an equivalent thereabouts of an ATAR of 95. Now, statistics are always misleading, and we have statistics from the last 2 years, and there's no discernible pattern yet. So this is an average. Okay, a couple of myths. You might have heard some of this already. Okay, I won't study too hard this year. I'll scrape through and I'll do a bridging course. Fantastic. Universities love that. We don't, because we hear from the boys who go through that and come back and tell us just how atrocious it is. It is much easier to learn the fundamentals at school than it ever will be at university, even in a bridging course. So imagine taking a 10-month course at year 12 and squeezing it into 6 to 8 weeks in a bridging course. So if you're not going to be able to survive that 10 months of instruction and guidance, you expect to finish it in 6 to 8 weeks. So that's an interesting thought in itself. What we're asking the boys to do is focus on their personal bests. Be driven by the capacity to succeed rather than just aiming to scrape through and looking for the next exit clause. Here's another myth. I just need an ATAR of 80 to get into UWA. Well, I guess that's true on paper, but it is very easy to miscalculate. You might have a predicted ATAR of 83 and think, all right, I'll just cruise through the ATAR exams. However, that 83 can very quickly become 79. Your ATAR is often influential on CVs, and UWA is only one university. I would encourage you to, in your conversations with your sons, to aim for the best university for your preferred courses, rather than just defaulting to 80 at UWA. And lastly, 80 is a ranking. So that means the entire UWA population will be better prepared to succeed than someone who scrapes in at 80.05. So that hopefully it gives you some perspective to share with your sons. All right, let's talk through assessment. The best way to equip the students for the rigors of ATAR exams is to ensure, so this is from us now, this is to us, and this is how we judge ourselves. We need to ensure that our exams and our assessments are valid, reliable, fair, and accurate. And I'd add to that transparent. That's the onus on us. So going along with that is our reporting and assessment policy, which I hope you've already looked at and pored through. If you haven't, please do so in the next few days and avail yourself of the information contained within. Share those with your son. Talk about it at the dinner table. Talk about it while you're doing anything with your sons. We ask you to consider a fairness check if you are in a situation where you are questioning the assessment policy or aspects of the assessment policy. The question I would ask is, would I be happy if another boy at the school was given that allowance that you're asking for, or if the school overlooked his attempt to gain advantage over my son? If you put that in the back of your mind and have a think about that before you ask the question, that usually could guide your thinking. Students should not complete assessments or examinations when they are ill. Should the students choose to sit in an assessment when they are covered by a medical certificate or subsequently provide a medical certificate, having already set the assessment, no review of the results will be considered. So there's no gray area here. So you're either sick and unable to sit the test or the exam and therefore have a medical certificate to prove that, or you sit the exam or the test. Those are the only two options. Also included in our assessment policies a notion of attendance. And this is again mandated by SCASA. So if attendance were to drop below the 80 to 90% range, then we know from experience that the learning will almost certainly be significantly affected. Now that, the reasons for the non-attendance varies, and we know that and we understand that. So a student's attendance record is therefore a very important consideration when we make decisions around assessment of their learning. Okay, I shared this with some boys a couple of weeks ago. So here are steps. If your sons come home and say, oh, I don't think that assessment was fair, or I think it was hard done by, or I don't think the teacher marked correctly, which are all perfectly plausible situations. If you haven't experienced those, they do happen. So step one, we ask, and the boys know this, to read over the feedback, look at the model answers, and if they've still got concerns, then speak to the teacher. Make sense? If the boys speak to the teacher in question and they're not satisfied with the response, then we encourage them to go and seek the head of department for that subject and speak to them and get an adjudication from the head of department. If they're still not satisfied, please come to the studies office, chat with us. We'll be more than willing to have the conversation around the issue at hand. And if that's still not sufficient, and your sons come home and say, look, I'm pretty adamant I'm right here, but I've gone through these steps and they haven't changed anything, then please, of course, get on the phone, get on the email, talk to us. I encourage you to. But I also say, all that time arguing, scabbing marks, creating conspiracy theories about what the teachers are doing and what the teachers are to get me for, and that's all time that's not used for study. So it's not really that productive. But if it's a legitimate concern, please bring it up. By now you would have heard from the boys about assessment periods, and this year the assessment periods for year 12 happen to be in Thursday period 4. We take these and exams very seriously, so normal exam conditions apply, so no phones, no smartwatches. The waste exam processes are mirrored as far as possible. If your son is ill, please contact the head of house and the studies office to let us know. We will also email parents of boys who leave exams more than 15 minutes early, because we don't encourage that. And we ask that you and your sons please read the exam timetables very carefully. If your sons are doing general courses, there's an externally set task, usually in the non-assessment week prior to the exams, school exams I mean. These are set by SCASA, but they're marked as at school and they're used as a moderation tool. And students doing a suite of general courses will typically have workplace learning during the term 2 and term 3 exams. I met with some year 12s across the board in my first week here, and I had conversations with them around their study habits, what works for them, what doesn't work for them. And I was, I guess, pleasantly surprised that most boys asked the question around study. As in, they haven't figured out yet what kind of study routine or study skill actually works for them. And they're still trying to figure it out. They might be asking their teachers, their tutors, their heads of house, yourselves. And certainly they were asking me. Now, there is no set study routine that works for everybody. It's not a one-size-fits-all. My most common piece of advice to boys at all ages is find what works for you. Go through the processes that are provided to you. So where are those provided? Well, this year, we have Year 12 study skills sessions being run in the refectory on Friday afternoons, 1:30 for an hour. The first one was held last Friday. But if you missed those or your sons missed those, please have a look at week 6, 7 and 8 on the Friday. These are run by staff in-house who have particular expertise in showing the boys study skills techniques, note-taking techniques, memorization techniques that might work for them. And if they're exposed to a plethora of different techniques and they go away and they try some of them, the chances of one of those processes clicking for them is usually pretty high. And when the boys actually find a process that works for them for their study, that can be a real injection of power and strength for them, because they suddenly feel confident and motivated and empowered. So I recommend these study skills sessions to all Year 12 boys, and I recommend to you to recommend to your sons. What happens in non-assessment weeks? So these are the weeks typically prior to the exams. We say that attendance during those weeks are vital. It is very easy to slip into the mode of, you know, it's a non-assessment week, I've got exams next week, I've got a whole bunch of past exams. I'm much better off sitting at home and working on those past exams, looking at the solutions, marking my work and finding my own gaps and trying to fill them myself. And it is easy to slip into that mode. However, I would suggest quite the opposite. Having a go at those exams, absolutely, but coming into class and getting feedback from the teachers, asking for teachers' guidance and advice on how they can tackle the questions in an exam setting, that is going to be much more powerful. Here is a quote from a past Year 12 student who thought that staying at home, working on past exams, was going to be the key, the solution. But he chose to attend the entire week prior to the exams, where there were no assessments. And this was his comment. And in particular, I quote, "I think it's important that you know that I'm greatly appreciative of the hard work the teachers have put in, and the continuous repetition of the importance of attending this revision week." So I can't stress that highly enough. If you've got special exams arrangements, well, these applications, and it is an application process that you must go through, or the boys must go through, and these are coordinated by our psychologist, Mr. Ralph. The decisions that the school makes in regard to the approval of special examination provisions are based, as far as is possible, on criteria that is similar or identical to those applied by the School Curriculum and Standards Authority. Formal application for special waste examination provisions need to be made to SCASA early in Year 12, as in now or before. Late applications are only accepted in accentuating circumstances. Boys making an application may be required to sit specialised tests set by SCASA to assist in its assessment. If you want to know more about this, there is a link on the slide that you will have access to read more about special provisions. And exams with special under special provisions are usually sat at a different venue. So that's also something that's important to note. If there's an alternative format of a practical exam, so let's talk maybe injuries. So when the nature and duration, so available to students who have a serious injury before the start of term 3, So where the nature and duration of the candidate's condition is definite and known early. The application should be made by the deadline in May. Where the injury or illness occurs after that date, application should be made as soon as it is known that the candidate will be unlikely to participate in the standard format of the practical examination. Unless a candidate with an injury or illness existing as at the start of term 3 can be guaranteed to recover sufficiently to sit the standard practical examination, the school should apply for the student to sit an alternate format practical examination. The last date for this application is in July. With winter sports season, that usually equates to some injuries. So this is an important aspect to consider. So please see, again, CCGS World for Year 12 notices for all of the details as these dates come, we get closer to the dates. Speaking of CCGS World, for you parents, please, all our communication is through CCGS World, the notice is in there. They go live every week, they're updated every week. Please click on the Year 12 and just read through. It's not just academic, it's all across all Year 12. Communication with the boys. We stress the email, we say it every time we get in front of them, please keep an eye on those emails because we're asking them to do things, we're sending instructions, we're asking them to report somewhere. So it's important they stay on top of the emails. Year 12 lunches, as Roger Bailey spoke about, we'll have a few of them across the year. And of course we'll have meetings, whether it's in small groups or the whole group. And communication, if you want to look at communication with SCASA, well, their website is full of information. Please feel free to digest some or all of that information. And they've also got a Facebook page, and that tends to appeal to the boys. What do we do during the holidays? Travel. Boys definitely require a complete break for a week or so. So if it's a 2-week holiday, please allow them and make sure that they allow themselves a break, especially after an exam period. They do need the break, they need the downtime. I would recommend lots of sleep, good food, friends, games, being outdoors. They should aim to do some really solid revision and practice in the remaining week. That's to gear them up for the coming term. This is particularly important during this term 3 holidays. And of course, getting organized in that week prior to the start of term is vital for Year 12s. Where can students go to get help? Well, the teacher in the first instance, the tutor, who they've hopefully had a built up a relationship with over the years, the head of house. Jodie Clark, our careers counselor, is a wealth of information, especially if boys have little sense of direction or they're unsure about what the next steps are. Jodie Clark can speak with them about options and put some ideas in front of them that they can consider. And once they get given that direction, that could help to motivate them into the study that they need to do. What can you do to help them? So this is what you really came for. So your sons will need you, even though they might not say it. I would encourage your sons to be realistic, keep perspective, and develop resilience. Encourage responsibility. Help them to organize themselves, but try not to interrogate or control. Try not to become a panicked overreaction, be part of a panicked overreaction to a bad mark. One bad mark doesn't destroy for the year. Please encourage collaborative approaches like study groups. Please encourage but monitor the co-curricular involvement, especially if he's starting to flag. Please work with the school. So support attendance requirements, for example, stick to the key dates, provide them with the support that we're asking you to provide them with. And during the holiday periods, aim for calm for the boys. And I know this is topmost on your mind, scaling. It is topmost on some boys' minds as they walk into our offices and talk about, well, you know, if I get a 75 in this, that's good because I'll get scaled up to an 85 and I'm all good. And I wish it was that simple, even though they might be looking at so-called harder subjects. It's not that simple. And again, there's no discernible pattern. So the term scaling can refer to just one step of the scaling process. The term scaling is sometimes also used to refer to the whole moderation, standardization, and scaling process. And although imprecise, this can be more meaningful. The whole scaling process is done by both SCASA and TISC, but typically only TISC calculations are reported. The mathematics behind scaling is complex. So complex that very few adults, and even fewer students, would have the mathematical background to understand it. If you're interested in reading about the scaling process, I invite you to have a look at the TISC website. And there's a section called the Marks Adjustment Processes for University Admission. You might want to have a glass of wine or something next to you while you read that. But what is the aim of scaling? Well, it is really, in the end, to be fair to all students, to ensure that students who do the hardest subjects are acknowledged, students who do the less common subjects are acknowledged. It's a way of balancing the subjects, so to speak. And generally, the scaling process works to achieve this aim. However, as we tell the boys from year 11 onwards, the best thing you can do is try your best. Most boys think they can predict their top four subjects, but they're not reliable in these predictions. Well over half the boys think they will not count, for example, English or Lit in their top four. In most subjects, typically around 80% of boys will count English or Lit in their top four. In most subjects, around 80% of boys count their subject in their top four. And just know that 50% of your son's final mark comes from the final exam. So it's 50% from the final exam, 50% school mark. That's before the moderation and scaling process. So let's look at that scaling process. So first of all, the scores that the boys achieve in their final exams become the school baseline for each subject. So this is the ATAR exam, so that becomes the school baseline. The boys' internal results, so the school results that we provide them, are then aligned to this baseline. Then these marks are combined to give each student an overall mark, so it's a 50-50 split between school and exam mark. Then the scores are moved up or down to reflect the overall strength of the candidature of students in WA studying that course. And then the top four results are counted to calculate the ATAR. So let's look at a couple of mysterious scenarios. So let's look at this student who might be studying a number of courses. We'll look at three of them. So let's look at this boy who, in mathematics, we give him a 75% as a school mark. But in the ATAR examination, he leaves out a question, but he ends up with a final scale score of 70. In English, he walked away from Christchurch with a 60, and he felt he did reasonably well in the examination itself, but ends up with a final scale score of 70. It is possible it has happened. And let's just say in textiles, just to be random. He scores 80% internally and was very confident that he would do very well in the examination, but he ends up with 70%. So what might have happened? Well, in the maths, we gave him a 75, the SCASA examination result was 65, so the overall result was the average of 70. In the English, although we gave a final result of 60, but because of the performance in the exam, his school mark was adjusted upwards to 70 to give an overall average of 70. And in textiles, while we gave him a final result of 80 and he scored 80 in the examination, the overall result of 80 but then gets scaled down to a 70. And that's through the scaling process that we discussed a few minutes ago. So what data do we have on scaling? Well, we have 2 years of data on scaling in the new waste. Scaling can change quite significantly, as I mentioned before, from year to year. We have no control, boys have no control over scaling. What they do have control over is their level of effort. We can't stress that enough. So it is dangerous to rely on the data that we do have, because there is no discernible pattern. So in summary then of scaling, there are too many factors going on to anticipate any scaling process. It is a process that generally works for all students and is fair. The best strategy is to try hard in all subjects, as it is hard to predict which ones will count. And students will typically do best when they have a habitual routine and develop a mindset for study. And ultimately, of course, we ask that all boys, and if you can support this, to trust the teacher's advice. The teachers know what they're doing at year 12. Trust the advice. Speaking to previous year 12 students and what advice they would give to current year 12s, set goals. Aim high. Try to achieve those goals as hard as you can. They all say this, get organized. It's very interesting. They talk about this efficient study. So study smart, not study long. Sleep. The year 12 boys were treated to a presentation last week from Jason Van Shee, a sleep specialist. And he spoke about the need to get 8 hours of sleep every night at this age, especially if during exam time, because fatigue can set in and cramming the night before actually has a reverse effect on the whole. Diet also was another factor. Diet helps with sleep and also helps with brain function. So if you're giving them snacks, please make sure they're healthy snacks. Support their learning, support their growth and development of their brains. Some more advice from previous year 12s. Make sure you have a sport or a hobby or an interest. Get away from the study every day. We talked to the boys about doing their studies in chunks. So if they've got 3 hours of study every night, they're not going to sit at their desk for 3 hours at a stretch. We encourage 45 to 50 minutes of dedicated study without any distractions, like phones or computers, if possible, and a 10 to 15 minute break where they can reward themselves. And finding a hobby or an interest or getting involved in sport will just balance that out for the week. Study groups. Some boys have already done this, some boys will do this during the year. It is not uncommon for study groups to meet at various locations around Perth, Reed Library being one of them, at UWA, to do study during the weekend. So if that crops up in conversations at home, encourage it. We tell the boys to utilize their teachers. They can help a lot. At last week's luncheon, I said to the boys, this is going to be an important year, a rewarding year, a busy year, and it's a learning year. But most importantly, I've asked them to think about ways they can guarantee that they can enjoy the year. And the only way they're going to enjoy the year is if they, well, participate, first of all, in highlights like the ball, valedictory, the sport, other competitions. But also they need to get organized so that they can enjoy the year. It will be busy, but it will be rewarding. So some advice from us then to Year 12 boys. We can't guarantee results, but we can guarantee opportunities. So if we provide the opportunities, and the opportunities are there for the taking, to do well, to give you your best, then take them. Work with us. Teachers' help and encouragement makes all the difference. We've asked them to work with each other. Form study groups, share notes, collaborate. Get serious today. It's too late to get serious in April or August or October. But I also say to the boys, pace yourselves. Pace yourselves, because it is a marathon from now to December, or at least to November. The longer it's left, though, the harder it gets. The early signs is they're very good. Initial assessments. General attitude from the boys, holiday communications, feeling of purpose that's coming through from this group, the early signs are very, very good. So I hope that is maintained throughout the year, and with your support, I'm sure it will be. Thank you very much for being an attentive audience. And like I said before, these slides will be available through CCGS World this week. And if you have any questions, as mentioned before, Dr. Rose and myself will be available. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being here. Have a good night.